Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Saturday. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ Alive, a message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you have any prayer requests, we'll pray with you. Have any question about the lesson, we do our best in the Lord Jesus for you. If you have any comments, we ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you're calling to get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages the Lord been sending through his angel messenger, we will get that to you as well. For those of you that don't like giving your prayer requests, your comments over the air, contact us at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And once again, we will get back to you. Amen. So we thank God for all of you listening at this 7:01 hour Central Standard Time here in the United States. We welcome those of you that are listening far and near, and those of you that's listening from other countries such as Germany and South Korea, Japan, Kenya, Uganda, and any other country that I have not named, we are welcoming you to Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. And for those of you that follow us on Blog Talk Radio, you know it's Saturday. That means the full gospel message with Brother Eddie Lee, and he is joined with the sisters. And as we await till they come on once again, we want to take the time to thank the Lord Jesus for all your listening. May the Lord bless you, your family, and your loved ones in Jesus' name. Amen. It is a privilege and humbling experience to be able to serve the true and living God, to be able to deliver his word to the hearts that are listening and tuned in to hear the word of the Lord, to be able to deliver the gospel of Christ that contains healing, deliverance, all the blessings that you stand in need of, direction, guidance, revelation. It's found in the word of the true and living God. I thank the Lord for the miracles that he is unleashing this day, as for those that he have yet to unleash. The Lord is doing a great thing, and there are going to be some magnificent manifestations coming by the Spirit of the living God. The Lord is going to restore health to people. He's going to restore limbs. He's going to restore muscle tissue. He's going to restore hearts and livers and kidneys. He is going to restore. He is going to restore peace in marriages, in homes. Hallelujah. He's going to restore relationships between spouses, between parents and kids, between friends, between associates. The Lord is going to restore. And we are grateful that he is a keeper of his word, that his word would never fail. We're grateful for all the prayers by faith that we utter up unto Almighty God that he heard. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Truly, I am blessed of the Lord this day. And to be born again and in the ministry from these 32 to 33 years, I am grateful for the Lord in keeping me and restoring and strengthening me. even when I didn't know what I was doing, okay? I thank the Lord for his help. There are some of you out there that's listening, and you feel alone. But I want you to know that if you have made a covenant with Jesus Christ, your Lord, you are not alone. And I thank the Lord for what he's going to do in your life. And I know that you've been battling to see this thing. But if you just continue to walk by faith, you shall behold the power of Almighty God. I thank the Lord this day for the work of restitution, restoration, restoring the body back to where he first had it set up to function accordingly to the way he set it up to function, to be attentive and submissive to the instruction that comes from the head, which is him. I thank the Lord for exposing all deceptions that may be around you or coming towards you, trying to get his hands upon you. And I thank God for stealing the hand of the enemy. Hallelujah. And bringing to naught plans that he had been working through man. I thank the Lord for such a day as this. God bless you, brother, on this blessed day.
Shalom, shalom, my brother. Shalom. Yes, I counted it a privilege, an honor, and I counted it a joy that I have the opportunity one more again, if they say, one more time, to glorify Jesus and remember his people and those that are not his people. In all nations, kindred, and tongue. This is the Church of Christ with Elijah's message. We are body redeemed believers in Christ, the everlasting gospel of Christ. And we are believers that are concerned about all men and all nations and all people. So at this moment of what we call this hour, this outreach, we call it the Handmaid's Night. When we honor and give special honor and recognitions to the women, and the women of God in particular, the mothers, wives, and handmaidens, and helpers, and beneficials around the world. Thank God. So we pray and exalt Jesus as the risen Christ, that his blood atones, his blood cleanses, save, and justify. And the blood sacrifice of the Lamb of God and his resurrection victory is our only hope and our only way and remedy. So we acknowledge all the women in particular who do, the mothers who have a great calling being a mother and a wife and other great things to benefit mankind, doctors and lawyers and teachers and ambassadors and all of these who are working for the good of mankind. We exalt Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach. Now, let us pray, because Jesus requires his love to stay before all people. So, Lord, we pray for Israel, your people, by elect, because of the faith of Abraham. And so we pray for your elect people through the faith of one man, Abraham. You promised that his seed would be a blessing to the whole earth. We thank you for keeping that promise. Now, Lord, we pray for the offsprings of Isaac and Jacob, because they have rejected your prophets and killed them and killed you and rejected you, Lord. They're still your people by elect, not because they were faithful. But, Lord, we pray for them because it's your goodwill that we pray for Israel and the people therein. They begin to weep and cry for their Messiah. They begin to be the wailing of the call and seek for the Messiah they have rejected, for their disaster and their sorrow and their grief. But you said the promise of judgment would come as an awakening and because of their rebellion. But Lord, we pray your love and your mercy upon them and for the other people, because we are redeemed Christians and we have to love all people, even the other part, Hamas, and all those Palestinians who are still walking in blindness. You love them as much as you love Jacob. So we pray for their salvation and deliverance, the seed of Esau, Ishmael, and Jacob, that deliverance and salvation in Jesus Christ will come to them, and the gospel will be taken to them, and they will hear the word of the living God. And thank you, Lord, and praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Okay. You were sharing, brother, something?
Well, I was just thanking the Lord for the blessings that he is doing this day for his people and praising him for exposing the plans of the enemy through the works of man. So I was sharing that with the people today and going into just praising and thanking him for the many things that he has done and he's doing right now.
Yes, okay. Thank God for us being preserved another day. It's a miracle in itself. Every day is a miracle gift from God. And to our brothers abroad who are suffering much, and the martyrs for Christ all over the nations and in distant land, Far East, Middle East, whether in Central South America, they're suffering because they present the Bible and the gospel to all nations. Those that are dying in prison for the name of Jesus and the gospel. We pray for their families, their children that are left behind, that you'll gird them with comfort and consolation, strength to prevail against the gates of hell. Smile upon the grieving wife and her children whose father and husband has been taken to them because of the gospel. Whether they're in Israel, whether they're in Egypt, Iran, Iraq, Romania, Russia, North Korea, or even in Africa, which is basically under siege by Islam. And Lord, we pray that the light of your gospel will come to all, and you know them that are yours, they'll be convicted and drawn to the light of Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the children and the many suffering mothers in many lands this night from starvation, without water, shelter, or with hope.
Yes,
that some way, somehow you will reach them through visions, by dreams, by angels, and by your own visitation, and by your servant, apostles and prophets and intercessors and evangelists, that the gospel will be taken to them, or shown to them, or broadcasted
yes,
to them. In Jesus' name,
yes, Lord,
amen.
Jesus. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thanks.
We in America have not experienced such much sorrow such as they have sorrow. It's been, over 100 and maybe 50 years or so that America has experienced on its soil such sorrows, such as the Civil War. So during the Civil War, brother against brother, right in this nation, so we understand how people in America, and during the Civil War, there we have a divided nation in America, and right in America, the states that went what they call Confederate, and the other one for the Union, the Southern states. So we experienced great sorrow, brother against brother, killing one another in a war right on our soil called the Confederate War or or the Southern War, or the whatever war you want to call it, when our nation was divided. And so Jerusalem and the war between their brothers, which most of them come from Abraham's seed, Ishmael and Esau, they are fighting and will be fighting until Jesus comes. So they had war and hatred against one another, as it was prophesied. Two children that come from Isaac, Ishmael and Isaac, and Jacob and Esau. So here we are, and as a Christian redeemed believer, we have to pray for both sides. We pray for the, for Israel, but Israel will not be at peace. I wrote something about it. People don't understand. I can't pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Because David, when he prayed that prayer way back there, he said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Well, David was not talking completely about the times of the end, which God has said through the prophets, there will be no peace to Jerusalem until Christ comes. So I can't pray for the peace. I pray that they come to know, come to understanding the Prince of Peace. Now, the blind Israel praying for peace of Jerusalem that's not going to come until Christ comes, that's not serving any purpose. We pray that they will accept the gospel of peace and come to their Messiah. And then they'll know real peace and deliverance. Okay, then. All right, sister. That's Sister Stella on the line. One of the handmaids.
Amen.
Is anyone else with us today, or we just, what were we?
Just us for now.
Okay. So, Sister, greetings, Sister Stella. And, hallelujah. I was just thinking today, America has been favored of the living God for so long. And now we are what we call subject to the power of the enemy coming.
Amen.
Just as Israel will continue to rebel, Israel will continue to kill the prophets, Israel and his people rejected the light and turned to idolatry continually. They were very backslidden. The Bible said in Jeremiah that they were a hard-hearted people. And always in the Bible, they were in rebellion. I mean, I know that's unpleasant to the people to hear. They don't want to hear that, but you can't blot out the truth just because you don't want to hear it. That don't work. You can tear the pages out of the book, but it still exists. You can stop take the books out of the library that there was no racism and all that kind of stuff, but it still stands. You know, you can't hide. You can hide, but you can't hide. The truth still stands. So Israel as a whole, God's elect, but they kept rebelling from to this day. They rebelled. Jeremiah said they were the most hard-hearted, stubborn people there was. They had the light of truth. And you're always through, the Lord God has to chase them, correct them, and their enemies had to come and rebuke them and put them in chains, and they would turn back to Jehovah, and they would humble themselves, and then he called on him, and he would deliver them. He would send deliverance to them. Now, Israel, to this day, the people of Israel, which was scattered for 2,500 years, God brought them back into the land in 1948, and they still in rebellion because they rejected their Messiah. And so they're going to suffer. I know we know you ain't going to hear that preacher, but they're going to suffer. That's a reason.
That's
a cause. That's a just cause. Even though Lord is full of compassion and mercy, and we have mercy, we pray for them. And my prayer is for Israel and all that they come to know the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9 and 6, they will come to know no peace. Jesus says, my peace I give unto my own people, John 14, but the world will know no peace. The nations will have no peace until they bow and submit to me, the Lamb of God. Now, we are troubled by the attacks by Hamas, evil, because as Muslims, they are raised to hate the Jews and hate to Israel. They are raised that way.
Amen.
That's their teaching. That's that, what's that man named? Muhammad and Allah, they've raised to hate and hate Israel, Jacob's seed. And in America, America had that same problem. Most of the culture in America has been the Caucasian people, white people, to what, hate? Well, be against black people.
Amen.
This is a double whammy. It happened in Israel, it happened in America, it's happened around the world. That this spirit of superiority of one race of another caused them to hate. Now, the Muslims, they hate the Jews. And hate Israel. They hate. And this is in the scripture, prophesied. They hate the Jews.
Amen.
And that's a demonic influence. And there are some people that we know that won't forgive us and walking under the spirit of unforgiveness. And this is how Satan captures cities and people who've been in this and hatred and unforgiveness. And so we have to free ourselves, just like Israel has to repent of all the prophets that they killed and how they rejected Jesus as the Messiah. That's a price. No use of the evangelist getting on there and trying to cover up. It's not going to work.
Amen.
You got to tell the whole. You got to tell why they are suffering.
Amen.
You notice how America is a culture of racism. Now, America is one of the blessed nations, the most choice nation, God's blessed nation, but yet she was imparted with racism from the beginning against black people and other people.
Amen.
Now, this is unpleasant because we don't like to talk about the other side of the coin. We always like to tell the half story. But that's not what Jesus did. He told the whole story.
Amen.
And America, the powers that founded America, founded this nation, the people in this nation who ruled and was in power had the teaching of their cultural teaching that black people were inferior and they were not deserving of equality.
Amen.
Now, when I said this stuff, I said these stuff because other people want to read half of the book and leave the other half away.
Mm-hmm.
But if you read the Bible, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Hosea, all of them, they spake, thus saith the Lord God. And when you read the Bible, from all the way to the fall of man, you find this problem existing. And I want to say that my love is for all people, and you have to be redeemed from any kind of hatred, bitterness against any flesh. So that's why I pray for the Palestinians and all people, because Jesus died for all. Okay, then. And rose again. Now I don't say it my part. Now we'll continue tonight with Handmaid. All right, sister.
We got Sister Ella and Sister Anderson. God bless you, Sister Anderson.
God bless.
Okay, I didn't mean to stop your cooking because I got to make sure my brother get his food now. I don't want to. My brother
sir,
Anderson.
No,
ma'am?
No, sir. No cooking here. No, sir.
I'm going to have to. I'm going to have to send sick down. You got to take care of the husband now. That's, no.
One meal a day. I did when I won, which was, it was brunch. That was one. Good enough.
Okay, brunch, okay. Did you get the water and wash the street?
No, sir, I did not.
Oh, sorry.
No, sir.
Well, you know, I'm just saying, you take good care. You know, Jesus stooped down and washed his disciples' feet.
I have in the past.
They were one that day. Okay, no honor. Okay, I just want to make sure, you know, you get blessed. And a lot of women's here. If I had to get blessed, I ain't doing that. Okay, I know. That's why we have such a division and schism in the Western world. Well, you know, and then the husband, he can get back, get right down and watch it. His wife feet. See, it's all good.
Huh? I'm for that. What'd you say? What'd you say? I'm for it. Yes, sir.
I know you'll go for that part. Yeah, I know. Okay.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Sir, you know how I feel about that, brother. I feel about that, not cut into things, but as long as I'm capable of doing it for myself, I can do it for myself. Thank God.
Here's the thing about humility. Why one of the greatest integral parts of a believer's life is humility.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
yeah.
In the Bible and in the word of the Lord, in the angel's message, I notice he always talking about humility.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering about why he's always talking about being humble.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was so
yes,
humble.
Yes, he was.
Amen. Can you understand that if you were the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and you allow your creation to whoop you and beat you and torture you, and you didn't say a mumbling word? That don't sound like mm-hmm. no. But here's what Jesus, the Son of God, the Creator, the Maker, came and allowed his creation to abuse, brutalize, whoop, judge him, and did not seek revenge.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
What kind of humility is that? Wow. Mm-hmm. That's
humility.
Yeah.
Humility.
We cannot find.
Oh, Jesus, help me. Help me.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Okay,
Amen.
I just thought about that. Why the Lord hates pride so much. One of the most greatest hindrances of people and believers is pride.
Mm-hmm.
And why the Lord hates pride so much. He said the pride. And I guess I start back when the devil, who was an angel, Cherubim, it said his pride.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
He was lifted up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I understand it very well because God is still working on me and working on me with that stuff, pride. You might well admit it. He's working on a lot of people. Most people can't forgive certain people, and they're still struggling with, even though that Christ is their Savior, they're still struggling with forgiving certain people. Now, if I ask you how you feel about Trump, that's a different story. If I use the word feel, talking about your emotions and your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
But if I ask you about your relationship with Christ and Christ in you concerning people you dislike.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some people very distasteful and wicked and ungodly.
Yes.
And very, like those terrorist people that killing Hamas and killing innocent people, and just killing all over.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to pray for these lives of people and souls and nations.
Yes.
Okay, then. Let me let y'all go. This is the night we reconnect and talked about the coming of our Lord. Okay, you all got it. I took it 30 minutes. You all have it. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
My first script about the second coming of Jesus Christ scripture that you referenced.
You want to introduce yourself, dear sister, so that people around the world can kind of know, something, introduction.
Okay, we I do thank the Lord for being on the line tonight and we've been stirring about the second coming of Jesus Christ, and we have different scriptures that's in the Old Testament, different scriptures that
okay,
are in the New
sister,
Testament.
Well, what's your name, where you are from, what's your family, people don't know you really.
Okay, all right. My name is Stella Dickens. I live in Mississippi, the United States of America, and in the state of Mississippi, the southern part of the United States. And I belong to the Church of Christ with the Elijah message, and we have been stirring for a few weeks now about the second coming of Jesus Christ, and we have now the first scripture I would like to share with everyone, is the in the book of Nineveh, and it's the second chapter, and it's starting at the. At the third verse, the shield of the mighty men is made red, the valiant men are in scarlet. The charity shall be with the flaming torches in the day of his preparation, and the first tree shall be terribly shaken. The charity shall rage in the streets, and they shall juggle one against another in the Broadway. They shall sing like torches, and they shall run like lightning. It was talking about in our day and time. It was talking about when he was talking about how the shield of the mighty men. He's talking about the men in our day and time when they're going to be mercied and bloodshed. And throughout the whole entire world, and so we're seeing now the different kinds of wars, rumors of wars that we hear about, different wars, and we have like war against different countries and mercy being mercy, bloodshed, you know, being shed amongst God's people, and he was talking also about the charities, that's the cause that we see now. And it's and how they all these different kind of wrecks that they have in the buses, the trains, the cars, and they run like lightning. He described Nineveh. He saw our day, and he described these cars. You know, and he said he didn't know like headlights. He called them like torches. He saw that saw these lights. And so he was saying that they were running like lightning. And when you get out on the freeway, the interstate, and the people, they drive so fast. They drive like 85, 90 miles an hour. Some of them sometimes get up to 100 miles an hour. And so they killing each one, each other in the Broadway. And so we are living in this day and time now. And that is a sign of one of the signs of Jesus' second coming also. And another sign is we turn to Malachi, the third chapter, and starting at the third verse. That means start at the first verse. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall certainly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, says the Lord. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appears? And who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner of fire and like full of soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purify silver. And he shall purge the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering, or offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judas and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in former years. So it is talking about that this messenger, which is John the Baptist, that he got to come before before Jesus' second coming. Just like when he came before Jesus' first coming, and he cried as one voice crying in the wilderness, make straight the pathway of the Lord. So now he is coming in this day and time, and he is proclaiming, you know, amongst the people, you know, get ready, and that Jesus coming is soon, and so he's making what you call the midnight cry, and he's calling for a great awakening to be made amongst God's people, that the gospel may be preached in its fullness, and that the gospel may be taken to the ends of the earth, and that that our people may be prepared to be able to receive Jesus when he comes. And he comes to cleanse the sons of Levi, that is the ministry, because the ministry has been corrupted over the years, and the Lord has sent his angel in 1829 to Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowan. And so what he did, he brought back the holy priesthood back to the earth again, in which it was taken away. And so he is coming now to cleanse the sons of Levi. In 1829 is when the purification and the cleansing took place among God's ministry. And he said he had to do that to restore this priesthood back, that it could be a holy and a holy and a pure priesthood. And then shall the offering of Judas and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years. And so that's what he came back to restore back that was taken from the earth, the holy priesthood authority, and to bring back the gifts and when Jesus was here on earth, how all the gifts was operating amongst the apostles, and how that when Peter would walk by and his shadow would heal people, and how Paul took pieces of his garment, because the anointing was so strong upon them, and it healed people, and even devils and demons, fled from the people. And so the Lord, he wants to restore those things back, the healing the people. He wants all of that restored back, in his church again. And so that is what
want to ask a question in the first part of this. We'll be asking questions and giving a short narrative, and then we'll go into some question areas.
Okay.
In particular, we'll be having tomorrow a round table discussion more. Tomorrow,
okay.
I just want to put this in before I edit the program. I want to ask questions that people will be asking. Generally, asking, I mean, to interrupt you. You got a chance to bring, this is a kind of a long series that leads into other things. How many scriptures do you think or do you know that speaks about the second and the first and the second coming of Christ?
It's a lot of them. I said, in the Old Testament, I said maybe about 10 scriptures or more.
Sister Anderson, how many scriptures do you surmise about the most important subject in the Bible, about the first and second coming of Christ?
Yes, sir.
First and the second coming of Christ.
Okay.
Okay.
20, 25. Yes, sir. There's lots of scriptures. Right.
Okay. Okay. So the most important reason and purpose of the scriptures is point to these two events, first and second coming of Christ. Now, if we cut out of the Bible these two things, what will we have?
Hmm. Well, it'll tell about his birth was pre-announced, and it would tell about his first coming. If you cut those out, then you're cutting out his second coming.
Okay. For the Nate.
Yes.
Cut out these two important events, first and second coming. What will we have? We cut those two events out of the scriptures and of the planning God. What will we have?
You would have, I mean, that's the center theme of the scriptures too. That it points to the second coming. That's the center of all the scriptures of what they pointed to.
But what will we have? What will we have as a human a race to hope for if you cut out the promise of these two events to happen?
We won't have any hope.
I can't hear both somebody's talking together. Sister Stella, what will we have?
I said we wouldn't have anything, you know, just like Brother Nate said, we wouldn't have anything to hope for. Because everybody's looking for the second coming of his coming.
Okay, Brother Nate, if you cut out the events promise of the first and second coming of Christ, out of the planning and out of the Bible, what will we have as a world and a nation? What will we have? The results of what?
The results that come from sin and destruction. I mean, you cut out the first coming, which he came as the lamb to be the sacrifice and to save mankind, then there's nothing else left. And then his return to deliver his people and to receive his people unto himself, then that, if that's cut out, then there's no hope.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sister Anderson.
Yes, sir. I agree with Brother Nate because the power and authority came through the birth of Jesus Christ, and now we're cutting that out, so that leaves us with no power and authority. And then upon his second coming, through his crucifixion and resurrection will not be done if there's no Christ. So that cuts out that. So that puts us right back into the dark, in the dark ages again. So we have, and that also cuts out the revelations. It cuts out the revelations because with the prophets, we do have prophecy and it cuts out the command and we do have inspiration, but it cuts out the revelation.
Okay. Yeah. Because the world doesn't know.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. It cuts out revelations. Salvation.
Okay. All right. Brother Nate, you were saying?
And if you cut out the first coming, then you cut out the answer to the deliverance from hell and destruction. And then there's no hope because there's no answer if you cut out his first coming. And like I said, if you cut out his second coming, then there's no answer for his people to see that the day will come that they will be delivered from the things that will be here on this earth.
Okay. So, out of all the revelation and truth that we read in the Holy Scriptures, the book we call the Bible, the whole point of the Bible, the focus of the whole point of the scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, the scrolls, what we refer to the canonized scripture, we call it the Bible. Out of all of the so-called 66 books. We'll get into that. 66 writings. What's the whole purpose and focus of all that is said in the Bible? What's the focus point? The focus point.
Yeah, salvation comes through Christ, Jesus, and to cut out all of the, you know, I'll just say if you cut out all that Jesus said, because righteousness and salvation and deliverance and redemptions and all that comes through the recover comes through Christ Jesus. And if he's cut, we have nothing. We're back lost again when the church went into apostasy. We're back there again.
So when Jesus, the one we call the very Son of God, comes on the scene in his first coming, as is spoken, and the promise of second coming. Now, many people in the world and the nations of the earth who reject this promise and truth, what is the outcome? Why is the gospel, the word gospel, is the most important message in the Bible?
Because the gospel is our salvation and deliverance. The gospel is our atonement through Jesus Christ and reconciliation, because redemption is through the Lamb of God.
Okay. Anyone else?
The gospel is the good news of that. Mm-hmm. There was one that did for mankind that he may have a chance to be saved, that one being Jesus Christ.
Okay. Sister Helen?
I agree with Brother Nathaniel and Sister Anderson.
No.
That's the gospel.
No, this round table. It has to agree with something more important. It has to agree with the scriptures.
Yes, that the gospel is the good news. It's the good news of, you know, of the kingdom. You know, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him, you know, that we might have, you know, everlasting life, you know, with eternity, you know, with Jesus Christ, you know, through his shed blood.
Is there any other way to inherit or be reconciled or redeemed and receive eternal life with God? Is there any other plan, any other way?
There's no other way.
Is there any method in the planning of God for mankind and for all nations to receive reconciliation and redemption and inherit eternal life with God? Is there any other way? We have a thousand, 10,000 ways among different nations and people. So how important is the gospel of Christ? Is there any other way?
There's no other way. And the most important part of the life, I'm going to say the life of Jesus Christ, the gospel that preach, the gospel that he brought. There is no other way.
And in the book of Acts, the 4th chapter, 12th verse says, neither is there salvation in any other, or there is none other name under heaven given unto men whereby we must be saved. And so there's no other, you know, name, no other way you know, that man can be saved is only through the name of Jesus. Jesus.
Do you know that the name of Jesus was a common name in Israel?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Just like Mary, Jane, or John, mm-hmm. or in our culture. Mm-hmm. But the name of Jesus, the name Hebrew, his Hebrew name is, Yeshua, Yahshua.
Mm-hmm.
That was a common
mm-hmm.
name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what makes the man Jesus, more important than any other man?
Because the man Jesus was the only man that was conceived by the Holy Ghost and born of a virgin mother.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyone else?
And he's the only one, you know, that God is his, you know, the claim that he is the son of the living God, which is, you know, and he's the only one that, you know, make that, you know, claim that he is God's only begotten son.
Okay. Anyone else?
The man Jesus, even though he was tempted in all points as we were, yet he was without sin.
Him being the man Jesus, he has to be more than that in Scripture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Scripture said he has to be the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Now, most people don't understand if he is not the Christ, he cannot redeem the world.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
The man, Jesus, the Word of God became flesh or became human. For a direct reason, three reasons. It had to become the Word, had to put on flesh, the Word
mm-hmm.
of God, had to put on
yeah.
human. But when they asked him, are you Elijah? Are you Jeremiah?
That prophet.
Are
mm-hmm.
you that prophet? Are you the Christ? Now, if he's not the Christ, of the Messiah, he can't die to redeem us. He's just a good man.
Right, he can't.
If he's
Amen.
Not the Messiah, the Christ,
mm-hmm.
the promised
Amen.
One that he Adam looked for a redeemer. You notice
mm-hmm.
that God didn't promise him a prophet but a redeemer. Now,
right.
Do you understand why most religions... Can anybody tell me why most of the major religions will accept Jesus, the man?
Mm-hmm.
That most major religions in the world
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
will accept Jesus, the man,
mm-hmm.
and as a prophet. But that's all
mm-hmm.
far they go. Now,
mm-hmm.
that is probably deceiving to most people that don't understand
mm-hmm.
redemption. But why would most of the major religions, Islam, Buddha, Hindu, all of them, would accept Jesus, the man, as a
mm-hmm.
good man or a prophet
mm-hmm.
or a master? Why is that so? And that's all the further they will go. Is that acceptable? Is that the acceptable way of salvation? Is that the acceptable way of redemption by him,
mm-hmm.
them accepting him as the man, the son,
mm-hmm.
and the prophet. Anyone?
No, sir. No, sir. That's not
Anyone.
The acceptable.
Anyone?
It's not the acceptable way because Romans says that, you know, that we have to declare and that we have to believe with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. and that, you know, we have to believe in our heart. And John tells us that he became the Word, and he is the Word. And there are scriptures to take it further than he's just Jesus the man. And when we accept him as just Jesus the man, we are cutting off our own inheritance from what he came into this world, and that he lived his life and the things that he went through in the crucifixion, and that he rose again, that we might have life and that we might be granted salvation and deliverance and reconciliation and these things by accepting him as more than just Jesus the man.
Okay. Next. Thank you.
We have to accept him as God, you know, as the Father. In the other religion, they cannot, they would not accept him as he being God, you know, being God, you know, being you know, the Father. They can they don't accept Jesus as you know, that he is God. He, you know.
Okay. Brother Nate.
Yeah, they definitely must accept him as the Redeemer, not just, you know, a man.
Now, understand this. Jesus the man. The ideology among major religions that they accept Jesus as a man or a good man,
mm-hmm.
or the Jesus as the son of Joseph and Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Will no wise answer the greatest need when man fell into sin through Adam's act, will not reclaim, redeem, reconcile mankind. Jesus the man, the Son of Man. But further, when they reject him as the Son of God,
mm-hmm.
the Redeemer.
Mm-hmm.
Now understand this, because most people don't quite understand. They think just accept Jesus. No, not Jesus as the man. He has to be the promised one, the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Got about 2 minutes, brother.
Yes. If he's not the Messiah, the Christ, he cannot mm-hmm. die for the sins of the world. Even though he's a man,
mm-hmm.
a good man. Remember, he came as the Son of God.
Yeah.
He came the Son of Man, the seed of David. But he becomes the Son of God. And the,
mm-hmm.
of course, the religious, they don't accept him as Son of God, the Redeemer.
Mm-hmm.
See the difference.
Mm-hmm.
The Son is sent to redeem.
Mm-hmm.
The Son is conceived by the Holy Spirit, not by man.
Amen.
He's the atonement. Mm-hmm. He's the atoning one, the atonement, the Passover lamb. He's not just a man. Like they accept.
Amen.
So there's no redemption in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they make him a prophet and a master, but not a,
mm-hmm.
an atoning one of the Lamb of God, being the Lamb of God, the Lamb
mm-hmm.
of God.
Mm-hmm.
See, the Father didn't die. The Son died.
Amen.
Amen.
Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, we'll continue tomorrow with our roundtable discussion about the first and the second coming, and the importance of the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
Now today, wherever you are in the world, in the nations, the restoration of the true gospel is the most important event to happen in the latter days. And we began about 1929, how the work was brought again to refining, starting in 1929, how that's the renewal and resumption of the work of God. 1927 onward. We thank you, and all of you that are listening, we'll share, continue the gospel about the second coming of our Lord. And maybe it be a blessing to you today. You can call upon Jesus as the Christ, the Savior, the Redeemer, and he will come and change your life and blot out your sins. Wherever you may be, you can do that right now. We look for you tomorrow at 7.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for all you've been listening. And as my brother said, tomorrow night at 7 p.m., we'll be back with the full gospel message. So we thank God for you all. May the Lord bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.
Amen. God bless.